Open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're just going to continue talking with you today about fulfilling your assignment, how to do that, how to go about doing that. And hopefully here, I don't know how long we'll go with this particular series, but I enjoy talking about this because I love seeing people fulfill the plan and the will of God in their lives. Amen. And, you know, we don't, sometimes I think we've overcomplicated that. I think, is it 1 Peter chapter 5 said that His will, God's will for us is that we be strengthened, established, settled, and perfected. And I mean, that you don't have to complicate that. God, in any area of your life that you feel upheaval, God wants you to be settled. In any area of your life you're not established, maybe you're confused, He wants you to understand. In any area of your life that you may not be, you know, you may feel like, well, I'm never going to mature in this area or I need to grow up. God's will and desire for you is to grow up. He wants us to grow up into Christ in all things. And so when we think about the plan of God, and today I want to talk about the God factor. I want to talk about the God factor, not leaving out the God factor. There's these men, you know, and four buddies. And these four guys had golfed together for probably 30 or 40 years. I mean, they had golfed, and you know, and so you know, you take men that old that go golfing. You know, one of them dies, it really hurts the team. So one of them died. So one of their teammates died. You know, so they were recruiting and asking the pro at the golf shop, and I see people fanning, so maybe we need to open the back doors or turn the air on, guys. But they asked the pro at the golf shop if he would be looking for someone that would fill their friend that died spot. And so, you know, they're all getting on up in years. You know, you take a bunch of older gentlemen out playing golf, and so to find one that could fulfill the guy's spot, the one that died, they used him as their sight dog. He could see the balls. I mean, he would, wherever those balls would go, he could see those balls, and he would help them find those balls. And so they started interviewing, recruiting replacements. And so they got this guy, the pro at the golf shop there, finally found this guy that was, I think he was 84 years old. And so they were, you know, they started out with him one Saturday morning. This group did this every Saturday morning. You know, they'd play golf together for years. They'd been playing golf together. And so they brought in this new guy that was had really good sight. And how many of you know when you interview or talk to someone, it's a good idea to ask all the questions. Ask good questions. Don't leave out many questions, but ask everything. But the pro at the golf shop had really found out about his eyesight and found out he was great. Even at 84, he could see when they hit the ball, you know. And so he got on the team, and so somebody said, well, now tell me, how's your eyesight? He said, quit insulting me about my eyesight. He said, I can see that ball. I can see it every time it goes somewhere. I can let you know where that ball goes. So they get out on the green, the fairway, you know, and they hit the ball down through there, and the ball goes way down there. And somebody said, well, now can you see? He said, quit insulting my eyesight. He said, I can see where that ball goes. They said, well, tell us where it went. He said, I forgot. See, we need to make sure we don't leave out certain things, right? Don't need to leave it. And you know, we don't want to leave out, listen, the God factor.
Yes.
They're doing some testing now about what is it that actually holds an atom together. You know, they can split an atom, but they can't figure out what holds it together. It's called the Higgs Basin. It's called the Higgs Basin experiment that they're doing. That's the title of the Higgs Basin. So you think, now, if I had a big orange here, and I'm holding this orange together, and I take a knife and I cut that orange, well, you know, my hands are holding that orange while I'm cutting it, right? Think about what is it they're trying to figure out. What holds an atom together? What holds it? What holds that atom together? And they think they may have discovered it. They call it the God factor. They call it the God particle. That's what they call it, the God particle that holds that atom together. Well, we know what that is. That's God. That's the Spirit of God holding that together. But see, they've discovered it, but they don't want to admit it. They don't want to admit it, but they can't figure out what's holding that factor together. Look there what the word says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Look here what it says in verse 3. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, speaking of Jesus. Now notice this. And upholding all things by the word of his power. God is upholding all things right now. What's causing this earth not to spin out of whack? What's causing the stars and the planets to stay in place? God is upholding all things by the word of his power. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. And when we think about it, we want to remember, you know, don't be like the men that got the buddy to play golf with him, but forgot to ask him, not necessarily how his eyesight was, but how was his memory. Amen. So we want to be sure that we'd listen in life. We're not leaving out the God factor. When the children of Israel were crossing over into the promised land, they come out of Egypt. They were crossing over into the promised land. You know what? They forgot the God factor. They forgot the fact that God had already smitten the Egyptians, had gotten them out of a bunch of troubles, that they had forgotten that when they got over into the promised land or to the wilderness, they were facing the promised land, they were facing the giants of the land. Listen, they were facing those giants, but they forgot one thing. They forgot the God factor. They forgot that there was a God in heaven that was trying to help them overcome and to fulfill the very thing that he had planned for them to do. You know, one of the things that we have to do, let me tell you what we have to do. In considering the God factor, we want to walk, we want to talk, we want to act, we want to be just like the God factor was already working for us even before we see it. That's what faith is. Faith is acting. Faith is walking. Faith is talking like the reality of the God factor is already working in your lives. You see, there are people that will curse God. You know, you remember the story of Job? Job was a blessed man, had everything in his life. And you remember the devil went up before the throne of God and said, you know, if you turn away from Job, he will curse you. He'll curse you to your face. And all of a sudden, God said, Satan, behold, Job is in your hand. A lot of people blamed all of Job's troubles on God, but God told Satan that Job was in his hand. Job had put Satan in his ball court by getting into fear over his children. He got into fear and began to sacrifice, and he got into all sorts of fear over his children, trying to make sure that his children were right with God. And so God said, behold, Satan, he's in your power. He's already in your power. So what happened? All of a sudden, tornadoes started happening. All of his children died. Job's wife, which hopefully none of the wives in here will be this way ever, but Job's wife said, why don't you just curse your God and die? You know what? There's a lot of folk, listen, a lot of folk think that cursing God is if you stood and you just stood with your fist up in the sky at God and said, God, I curse you, or God, I hate you. You know what? We are not necessarily cursing God by raising our fist to him, but when we leave out the God factor, it is a curse. We never leave out the God factor in regard to your life. Never leave out the God factor. Always consider there is a way that God is going to be working out your situation in life. You may feel like, gosh, I am so bogged down with this. I am just in such trouble with this. I'll never be able to make it through. I'll never be able to get through. You know, one of the things a couple of years ago, maybe last 2 years or something, I was teaching in the Bible school here and talking to the students about, I think it was pastoral care class, and I was talking about, you know, when you do a funeral or you do a wedding or you stand up and you're going to preach, and somebody said, well, you know, I always got all these notes together when I'm going to stand up and talk, but I never know what I'm going to say. I'm so afraid when I get up to talk, I'm not going to have, you know, together what I need to, even though I've got all these notes, it's like I'm not sure how it's going to come out or what I'm going to say. And I said, well, you know, there's one thing about it. You don't need to know till you get up there. I mean, you prepare your message, but you have to understand there's the God factor involved in it. You have to let the God factor come in and let grace, oh, let the Spirit of grace come into your life at that point when you need to say what you need to say. Isn't that what the Holy Jesus told the disciples in regard to the Holy Spirit? He said, don't fear what you need to say in the hour when you need to say it, because the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to speak at that certain time. See, we need to consider the God factor. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Think about when the children of Israel finally did, after 40 years, they crossed over into the promised land and they were facing the walls of Jericho. Think about that. They were facing the city of Jericho, the walls of Jericho. Now think about it. Would that whole scenario, you know, where they marched around the city for 7 days and blew trumpets, and then on the seventh day they stood at the wall of Jericho and they shouted to the wall, would that work out very well on paper? Huh? Do you think that would have worked out very well on paper?
No.
See, a lot of times we're trying to intellectualize the God factor, and you can't intellectualize the God factor. You just have to step out and do the God factor.
That's right.
Step out at times, and let me say this. Think about the anointing of God that's upon sound. Think about when they stood in front of that wall, you singers and praise team and all you people that sing in here, think about the anointing of God that's on sound. Think about when they stood in front of that wall, however they shouted, I don't know. They may have went, woo, you know, but they shouted at those walls. And think about the anointing of God, that the power of God that came through sound that began to break those walls down. Think about that. That wouldn't work too well on paper. You know, the God factor sometimes doesn't work too well on paper. You can't write it out. You can't figure it out. You just have to go with it. Amen. So many times we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to rationalize, intellectualize the God factor, and you can't rationalize or intellectualize the God factor. Sometimes you just got to get out of the boat and walk on the water.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that enthusiasm. Amen. Think about it. Think about when the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace. Now, let me ask you a question. Did that work very well on paper? I mean, if they had written that out on paper and calculated all that, do you think that would have worked? No. I mean, when the people that threw them in the furnace got near the furnace, it destroyed their lives. It destroyed the very ones that were trying to destroy them. When the three Hebrew children got into the furnace, they got into the furnace, their clothes weren't cinched, and the king looked in there and said, there's another man in there with them. There's somebody else. Didn't we just put three in there? But now there's four. Amen. Think about the God particle, the God factor. Think about the God factor. When you're thinking about doing your assignment, when you're thinking about doing what God wanted you to do and called you to do, think about David and Goliath. Think about how would that work out on paper? You've got a little servant boy, a little boy that keeps the sheep, going up against a 9 or 10 foot giant, clothed in armor, and here Saul, the king, tried to put armor on David, and David said, oh, this won't work because it's not been tried. I can't prove this in my life. But he said, here was the deal. He said, I was out keeping sheep for my father, and there was a lion came, and I grabbed that sucker by the beard, and I killed that rascal. And then there was a bear came, and I got that bear, and I choked it to death. I killed that bear.
Amen.
He said, I have had experience with God, the God factor, working in my life against the lion and the bear. And I'll tell you what, the God factor is coming into play as I stand against this giant.
Amen.
When we recognize the God factor,
woo!
Yes. Hallelujah, the God factor. Hallelujah. I tell you, those giants can become small. Some of y'all today may be facing all sorts of problems, trials, tests, but don't forget the God factor.
Amen. That's right.
Keep the God factor in play in your life. Keep the God factor alive in your life. Think about the God factor. You know, that when you think about life, when you think about what you're doing in life, when you think about the plans and the purposes and the things that you're going to do, keep the God factor in the center of it.
Amen.
He's upholding all things by the power of His Word. He's upholding all things by the power of His Word. Think about the God factor. What about when Samson? You know Samson and Delilah? Did y'all ever hear the story of Samson and Delilah?
Yes.
Samson had it bad for Delilah. Anybody ever had it bad for somebody? I mean, I never have understood that story where she would just let them Philistines in every time and he'd go back to her. She would lie to him and say that this was happening, that was happening, tell her the secret of his strength. She'd let them Philistines in. Man, they'd do everything under the sun to him, and then he'd still go back to her. She kept doing that. And you know what the word said? This is an interesting fact here. This is a good side journey here. It says that his soul was vexed daily by her. You know, you can get into a place where things of the world are vexing your soul. They'll get that. It won't necessarily mean that if you died, you wouldn't go to heaven. It just means that it's vexing your soul on a daily basis. Something is, and you know what? There, you got to watch in life about being a drama king or a drama queen. Amen. Don't be a drama king or a drama queen. You know, drama kings and drama queens fan the flames and stir up strife and stir up all sorts of stuff in people's lives. They're drama kings and drama queens. Amen. Want to guard against that. Why? Because it will vex your soul. It will cause your soul to be troubled. It'll cause your soul to be vexed. Listen, not necessarily have anything to do with your born again, recreated spirit of that, you know, on the inside of you, the righteousness that you are on the inside, but it can sure do a number on your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen. Amen. That's why you have to guard your heart against not letting all sorts of things consume your life. You know, thank God we'll probably enjoy the Super Bowl today and enjoy it. But you know, some people, football's their life. Sports is their life. Sports is not my life. I mean, I can't even tell you who was in the playoffs. I mean, and I enjoy football, but I can't tell you all the statistics. I can't tell you that stuff. Why? It's just not my life. I mean, it's not my life. I'm not, but now, you know, if you ask me a scripture, I might be able to tell you that. Amen. You see what I'm saying? See, we can get vexed in our soul so much, so wrapped up in our soulless realm. You can get wrapped up in your soulless realm about anything in your life. That doesn't mean that when you died, you wouldn't go to heaven. And a lot of people make the mistake of thinking because someone's wrapped up with something in their soul that when they die, they'd go to hell. No, not necessarily. If you're born again, you're going to go to heaven. Got to consider the God factor. Amen. Amen. Samson even failed. He told her the secret. He told Delilah the secret about him taking the Nazarite vow. And the Nazarite vow was there would be no razor come upon his head and he would never take any kind of strong drink, wine, or liquor or anything. Part of the Nazarite vow. He took the Nazarite vow, and when he took the Nazarite vow, the anointing of God was upon his life. But he told her the secret of that Nazarite vow was that a razor would never touch his head. Finally, she broke him down. She broke him down. She got so torn up, got him so vexed in his soul. He said, gosh, I got to tell this woman or she's going to kill me. Well, he told her, but she didn't get him. The Philistines got him, took him, cut his hair, shaved his head. Listen, gouged his eyes out.
Yes.
Took his eyes out. But you know what? Even in his failure, even in his moral failure with Delilah, even in his moral failure, when his hair began to grow out and his Samsonite vow was renewed, he began to think about the God factor. There's a God factor involved in your life. Listen, even in your failure, there's a God factor involved in that. Even if we fail, there's a God factor involved in the failure. If we will allow the God factor to work. Thank God, Samson, in his death, the Bible says, when he was tied up between those pillars, that strength came back upon him. He was able to pull those two pillars down, and the scripture says he slew more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. Hallelujah. Everybody say the God factor.
God factor.
Think about the God factor when you're thinking about fulfilling your assignment. There's always, always room for God.
Amen.
Amen. There's always room for God working in your life. One of the things about everyone we mention, the Hebrew children, the Samson and Delilah, when you think about Daniel in the lion's den, when you think about the children of Israel shouting at the walls of Jericho, listen, they may not have been at the start, but they finally got into agreement with God. They considered God in regard to what they were doing. You can consider God in what you're doing. God wants to be involved in what you're doing. Always, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what you're doing, consider God in what you're doing. Consider the God factor. God is willing, ready, able to help us. I'll tell you, he wants to see you through. He wants for you to be able to fulfill your passion, your dreams, the assignment that he has for you. He wants you to fulfill that dream. You know, I'm going to give you five things to consider when you think about the God factor. I'm going to give you five things to consider when you think about what God is requiring. How do you keep the God factor alive in your life? You remember when Abraham and Sarah, God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a child? You remember that story? And Sarah got a little bit impatient. And she said, Abraham, here, you can have a relationship with Hagar. You can do that. And we know the result of that was Ishmael. We know what happened there in regard to Ishmael and how that we're still dealing with Ishmaels today. Amen. And you know, because of that mistake. But, you know, even after they went and he had relationships with Hagar, there was still the promise of God to Sarah that she would have a baby. And when the angel of the Lord came and said, Sarah, you're going to have a baby, and she laughed. Has anybody here ever laughed? She went, ha, 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 ha. And then the angel said, you laughed. And she said, no, I didn't laugh. But you know what? If I'd been as old as them two were, I think I'd have laughed too. Amen. She was 99 and Abraham was 100 when they finally conceived. But you know what the Bible says Abraham did? Some of you men, listen, this will help you get a hold of this. You know what Abraham did? The Bible says that Abraham considered not his own body, now dead. It says he considered not his own body. You know, it'd help us all sometimes a little bit not to consider our own bodies. Not to consider, you know, you ever have an ache or something, a pain come in your body, and the first thing that pops in your head, well, that must be cancer. You know what? You ever have that happen? Huh? Nobody ever have that happen? Oh, it must be this. Or, you know, you have an ache or pain. Well, that must be arthritis or something. You know what? We would all be a whole lot better off to consider our bodies a whole lot less. Consider your body. The Bible says Abraham considered not his body. And he says he staggered not at the promises of God. Look at this now. Not just not considering his body, but he staggered not at the promises of God, giving glory to God. He didn't consider his own body. Listen, I want to encourage you not to consider your own body so much.
Amen.
Not to, you say, how can I include the God factor in my life? By not considering our body. You know what Elijah did when you remember the storms when Elijah outran the chariot? He outran Jezebel's chariot. You remember that story? And then he got into a cave. Listen, the voice of God, Elijah considered, listen, everybody say considered.
Consider.
Now, we don't want to be like those men that didn't consider the God factor. I mean, they didn't consider the fact that this man couldn't remember. Right? We want to consider. Everybody say, consider.
Consider.
See, Elijah, listen, he thought God was going to speak through the fire. Boy, I tell you what, if there's ever a mistake that I feel in my own heart that Christians really miss the Lord, they really miss the Lord because they think God's going to do something flamboyant and something so amazing that they're missing the very still, small voice on the inside of their hearts. Consider the still, small, quiet. You know, that God particle that's holding that atom together can't be seen with the physical eye. Did you know that? Consider the God factor. The God factor in your life. The God factor that's holding things together, that will bring opportunities, that will present itself as little, small, still voice giving you direction. I'll tell you what, that would encourage all of us to turn everything off, wouldn't it? To be still and know that He is God. See, Elijah was thinking that the voice would come through the storm, through a big, fancy way, through the earthquake, through the fire it would come. But no, it came through the still, small voice. Listen, Noah, the Bible says, Noah found favor. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That doesn't necessarily mean that he found favor by being such a good person as much as it means he began to see the grace and the favor of God. He considered He considered the favor of God. He considered that God was a good God. He considered, the Bible says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You know what? He was a preacher that told people of the goodness of God. He began to speak and to declare the goodness of God, and that generation rejected the righteousness of God. See, what are you considering when you consider the God factor? Considering that God is favorable towards you. Considering that He's on your side. You know, there's a scripture, I can't think of it, it seems like it's in Luke chapter 2, but it says that Jesus grew in grace or in favor and in stature with God. He grew in stature with God. Folks, I want to grow in the favor of God. I want to recognize the God factor in everything of my life, in every area. Listen, there's not an area, I don't care how personal it is, I don't care how small it is, I don't care how minute it is to you, that God doesn't care about and wants to give it to you, wants your life to consider Him in that factor. You know, me and Beth, we've known each other now for, how long have we known each other? About 35 years, honey? 35, almost. 37, get close to 40 years. 40 years. Lord, you're a good looking thing. I did good. I married up, didn't I? About 40 years, well, 37 years ago, we had a dog. And we got a dog together, and his name was Sam. And this dog, I'm telling you, he was such a precious pet to us. I mean, we loved this animal, and he was just friendly and nice and so well-mannered and just a good dog. You know what I'm saying? You ever had a good dog? Has anybody here had a good dog? So anyway, you know, one day we had left and left the dog in care with someone and it was left outside and it ended up getting run over and hit by a car. And then we ended up having, we tried. We did everything we could to keep Sam alive, but we ended up having to, you know, put him to sleep and have him buried. Well, on New Year's Day this year, you know, God, that was special to me. Sam, I never told Beth about this, but occasionally I'd have dreams about Sam. I'd dream about him. You know what? Because he was just, and I would see him in my dreams. But anyway, on New Year's Day this year, everybody say favor now. Favor. Just say favor. See, God cares about every part of your life. Amen. On New Year's Day this year, Abby said, Pawpaw, I said, what? You know, Abby, y'all know Abby. She said, Pawpaw, I want to go to the pound. I said, you want to go to the pound? What's at the pound? She said, Pawpaw, I want to go see the puppies. I said, okay, well, we'll go this afternoon. I had some things I had to do that morning. I said, we'll go in the afternoon. So that afternoon, we went down to the pound, and I walk in the door of the pound, and there sits Sam. I'm telling you, this dog, I show you a picture of Sam and a picture of this dog. They look just alike. I mean, there sat Sam. And I thought, well, I'll never find another dog that's as good as natured as Sam was. I just never dreamed I would. I sat down in a chair, and this dog just came and just sat right beside me, put his snout right on my knee, and just laid there. And I went back 3 times that week to look at that dog. I could not get that dog off my mind. I just couldn't get him off my mind. He's a shepherd and a chow mix and just a beautiful dog, colored like Sam, looks like Sam, acts like Sam, walks like Sam, talks like Sam. I mean, friendly as he can be. I mean, and so I went down there at Friday and I got him. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you what this means to me, what this dog means to me. I mean, I'm thinking, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? You know, what have I done? And then I keep thinking, this is the favor of God. This is the favor of God. But he's such a precious, precious pet. I mean, he's such a good-natured animal, just like Sam. I mean, and it's like, here's Sam back, you know. God is so good. He's Dude. His name is Dude. The new dog is Dude. He's a dude, I'm telling you. But see, Noah, listen, in every area, Noah considered the favor of God. Listen, in every area of your life, let me tell you something. When it comes to paying your electric bill, when it comes to your car being repaired, when it comes to crisis in relationships, when it comes to any area, addictions, when it comes to any problem in your life, consider the God factor. Amen. Consider His favor on your life. Amen. Consider that He's for you and not against you. Consider He wants to heal those wounds in your life and make life better than it was before. Consider God. Consider the God factor.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when you consider the God factor, when you think about it, listen, folks, when you consider the God factor in regard to eternity, the Bible says that He is the Father of those that are in heaven and on earth. Consider it. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe there's grief in your life. But listen, you will see and be with them again.
Amen.
Consider the God factor. I'm telling you, when Ruth considered the God factor, remember, she followed Naomi when it wasn't to her interest to follow Naomi. She followed Naomi, which led her right straight to Boaz.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Think about the God factor. When Peter said, "Lord, what are we going to do? I can't pay my taxes." Consider the God factor.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Take up, go down, Peter." Now listen, they all usually fished with nets.
Right.
He fished with nets. And Jesus said, "Peter, go down and put a hook in the water."
Yeah.
"And take up the first fish." And when you take up the first fish, now I don't know if Peter may have caught more than that, but we said, when you take up the first fish, take the gold and pay your taxes and mine. The God factor.
Amen.
Think about the God factor.
Amen.
I'm telling you, folks, when we consider the God factor, what we are doing in regard to our dreams, the plans, the purposes that we have here on this earth, we will be able to fulfill those. Let me tell you something. When God gave Abraham Isaac, you remember finally Isaac came and God said, "Take him up on the mountain." Let me tell you something now. Any time in your life, you're usually going to have that experience. You're going to have the experience where God will say, "Listen, you may have made a fortune in your life, but now it's time for you to lay this down at my altar. This time for you to lay this relationship. It's time for you to lay this particular dream or desire. It's time for you to lay it down." Listen, Abraham took Isaac up on the altar. He took him up there and he laid him on that altar. You may be desiring something so badly in your life, but listen, God wants you to remember and consider the God factor. Take it and lay it on the altar. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19, it says Abraham, accounting that God was able to raise him up, he saw it in a vision. He saw it on the inside of him. He considered the God factor. Listen, even when that dream was dead and that dream was dying, he considered the God factor, and he said he saw God raise Isaac from the dead before he ever put him on the altar. He saw him raise him up.
Amen.
Glory to God. And he laid him on that altar and looked behind him, and there was a ram. Do you see what I'm saying in regard to considering the God factor?
Hallelujah.
Consider the God factor in your life.
Yes.
There is nothing too difficult for God. There's nothing impossible for Him. There's nothing that God can't restore, renew, reconcile in your heart. Even if it's been ashes. I love Joyce Meyer's book, The Beauty for Ashes. He can take those ashes and He can turn it into something beautiful if you let Him in your life. Consider the God factor. Here's the deal. Abraham believed that God gave it, and he believed that God could raise it. If you believe that God gave you life, if you believe that, and you believe that He's given you life, then you've got to believe if He gave you life, He can raise your life. See, when we're considering the God factor, when we're considering that He gave us life, we can believe that He can raise our lives, folks. Consider the God factor. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please.